See, as we grow up to be these end-time adults in the family of God, we see the anointing of God on us and flowing in us and flowing through us because we are children of the Most High God, and His power is working in us and through us. And we're going to talk in detail about that today. End-time adults in the family of God. Thank you, Jesus. I can remember as a young man, and in my 20s or so, you know, you're just kind of feeling your way around what it means to be an adult. And I remember seeing men at church or in business that I was around that were in their 50s and 60s, and I'd look at them, I'd say, wow, look at that. They're poised, they're so mature, they have seem to have things together, you know, they look really nice, and they seem to have wisdom and understanding about things. And I say, wow, you know, is that what an adult is? You know, you kind of grow up and you mature, and it's like I was hoping someday I could be like that. So now here I am in my 60s. I don't know. In some ways, I still feel like that floundering person trying to understand what it means to be an adult. Anyway, thank you, Jesus. So let's talk about being an adult. You know, in our society, we think of an adult as someone that takes responsibility for themselves and for those that are under their care, whether they're a husband, a father, an employer, whatever it might be, they take responsibility. They are independent and self-sufficient and responsible. They show some maturity. And so in our culture, that's kind of what we think of as an adult, which I don't at all disagree with. But you know, when you think about adult, there's actually three different definitions of what it means to be an adult. One has to do with just the physiological. In other words, you grow up, puberty hits, things change in one's body, and then I think of that the movie where It's a Wonderful Life, where the two main characters, they see each other after the woman has been away at college, and he looks at her and he says, "Is that you, Mary? Why, just last year you were just a girl." So here she had matured and was now a young woman. So that is one definition of being an adult. In our society, there is a legal age of adulthood, whether it be 18 or 21, whatever it is. You know, when you turn 18, you are considered an adult. And many times we look at people and we say, really? So, and that's because of the third definition of being an adult, and that is acting on and taking on the characteristics of being an adult, being a man, being a woman with the responsibilities and all that that goes along with that. And you know, when you see people that aren't acting their age, we have a tendency to want to say to them, come on, man, grow up, right? Because we want them to mature, we want them to grow up, quit acting like a teenager when you're 40 years old. You know, a lot of that is also true in the spiritual realm, in the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us that we are to grow up from a child or a babe that longs for milk to a young man. I'm thinking of 1 John chapter 2, around verses 12 through 14, where it describes the fathers of the faith who know who their God is. And it describes the young men that are growing in the Word and are resisting the devil. And it talks about the children that are just beginning to understand who God is. The Word talks about the milk of the Word, the meat of the word, the strong meat of the word, and we'll talk some about that. So in spiritual things, we are also to grow up. And the thing that is so different is in the world, in the natural things, you kind of, people expect to grow up. They expect to have to take on responsibilities, getting a job, getting married, having children. These things elicit a maturity that is supposed to be coming to them. Unfortunately, in this day and age, many people want to change adult from a noun to a verb so that they are adulting. So it's Monday morning. It's time to get up to go to work because today I have to be an adult. So you're adulting today. But tomorrow I have the day off, which means I can do whatever I want to do. But on Wednesday I go back to work, so now I have to be adulting again, taking on the responsibilities. Well, you know what? It doesn't work that way in the natural, and it doesn't work that way in the spiritual. In Romans chapter 8, verse 19, it talks about, and we'll look at that in a few minutes, it talks about being a manifested son of God. And we've talked about this before. Manifested means fully revealed son of God. But what tends to happen is we tend to be many-fested sons of God. In other words, just every once in a while, we may show a characteristic of being godlike. We may be adulting in the family of God. Well, that is not the way that we're supposed to be. We are to grow up into the family of God. We are to grow up as adults in the family of God, mature, taking on the attributes of the kingdom, taking on the attributes of God, taking on the attributes of Jesus, learning how to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is what this lesson is about today. It is God's heart for us to grow up, not just hang around. You know, we talk often from time to time, you know, it's pretty common in churches. You know, you've got the Christian who has been in church for 40 years, but they don't hardly know anything about the word. They, you know, live their life totally in the natural, and then they come to church on Sundays, or maybe if they're really, really committed, they might go on Wednesday nights, but they don't seem to know anything. They don't seem to be growing. They're still sucking on a bottle, that bottle of milk, in spiritual diapers, even when they've been in the Word, or in church at least, for 30 or 40 years. And that's not what we want to be. God's heart is that we grow up and be what He has called us to be, but also to be what Jesus died for us to be. So let's talk now about growing up in the ending days. And I want to start with Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So here we're talking about an heir, a son. But because he's a child, in other words, he hasn't matured, he hasn't grown up to be an adult, he's treated like a servant. Goes on in verse 2, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by his father. And that's like us when we're new in the things of the faith. It is okay to be a babe drinking the milk of the word. There's nothing wrong with that. But as time goes on, that milk should become not just a steady diet of milk, but now should start to take on some meat, some stronger food of the Word of God. So that as we are growing, just like a child doesn't stay on milk their whole life, they grow to pablum, they grow to other things, and finally, after two or three years, they can eat just about anything that any adult could eat. Maybe not as much, but they're eating. So they're under tutors and governors. People are bringing them along, showing them, teaching them, instructing them. And that's like that in the church. Going on to verse 3. Even so we, when we were children and under the bondage of the elements of the world, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So he redeemed us, and now we have received the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. In other words, has grown up now from the child who was treated like a servant to now being the son who is no longer a servant. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. In other words, taking on the adulthood of the kingdom of God. So no more a servant, no more a child, but having grown up to take on the responsibilities of a son in the kingdom of God. So we're going to look now at some of those ways in which that is described in the word. To be part of the church without spot or wrinkle, the glorious church, from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. So this is God's work in the church today. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. So here is Jesus working in us, sanctifying us, setting us apart, cleansing us, getting rid of the stuff that doesn't belong through the washing of the water of the word. So it's the word of God, as we've already talked about, milk to meat to strong meat. And this is all talking about the word of God. And so he is sanctifying and cleansing us with the washing of water by the word, that, verse 27, that he might present it, the church, to himself a glorious church, a church full of the glory of God. And what is distinctive about being a glorious church? The very next phrase, not having spot or wrinkle, no sin, no trespasses, no iniquities in our lives. So we have, by the word, grown up. So to be that glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that the church should be holy and without blemish. This happens by the word of God. It happens by the Holy Spirit teaching us and ministering to us, so that we are growing from glory to glory to glory. I'm not quoting the song, I'm quoting scriptures, that we would grow from glory to glory to glory, even as by the Spirit. Another way of looking at this, that we are to desire to be without spot and blameless, from 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 10 through 14. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, these things being the things of the world, the things of this earth, will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness? Reminds me of a scripture in Psalm 27, verse 12. It says there, a prudent man sees the evil and hides himself. Now, want to use that a little bit different than what is being used here. In this case, because we are seeing what the end is going to be, we want to, a prudent man is going to look at that and say, wow, if that's what the end is going to be, then what do I need to do? I need to be a person that has holy conversation and godliness. Going on to verse 12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Therefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. There's a good word for you. That is a good adult word. Diligent. An adult in carrying out their responsibilities are going to be diligent. Being diligent that ye might be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So as we see that the day of the Lord is coming, we need to be seeking to be without spot and blameless, without sin, without trespasses, without iniquities, without blame, that no one can look at us and say, you did that, you said that. No, we are blameless, and that should be our desire. We purify ourselves even as he is pure, from 1 John 3:3. I'm going to start in verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. So that when he appears at his coming and presents to himself the glorious church, what will be? We shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope of being like Jesus, has this hope of being alive and remain when Jesus comes again, every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he, Jesus, is pure. So we want to purify ourselves to be without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing, being holy and blameless. If that is your desire today, to be like that, to grow up and be that person that is the adult without spot or wrinkle, to be that glorious church, then let me lead you in a prayer right now, making that commitment in your heart. So let me lead you and repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ. He is my Savior, my Lord, my cleanser, my deliverer, my strong tower, my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. Jesus, you bore all my sins and nailed them to the cross, so that I am the righteousness of God in you. So in the name of Jesus, I reckon myself, I count myself dead to sin, but alive to God through Christ Jesus, my Lord. Jesus bore my sins in his body on the tree, that I, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Jesus paid the price that I should live a holy life, a righteous life, because my Father in heaven is holy. Therefore, I commit in my heart to never sin again. Let's do that phrase one more time. Therefore,
I commit
in my heart
never to sin again.
I ask you, Holy Spirit, to help me not to sin, to lead me not into temptation, and to deliver me from evil. I choose to hunger and thirst for righteousness, knowing that you promised that I shall be filled. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that you did make that commitment in your heart to never sin again. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Because that is part of growing up into what God has called us to, that glorious church without spot or wrinkle. So how do we go about doing that? Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the adult sons of God. Verse 13 of that same chapter, right before Romans 8:14, 8:13 says, "For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." So here, you shall die if you live in the flesh, but through the Spirit, you do mortify the deeds of the flesh. Through the Spirit, then ye shall live. And then verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God." So what I'm trying to point out here is that being led of the Spirit just isn't being led. Now, what do I do today, Lord? What do I do now? What do I do about this? And what do, you know, lead me, Father, lead me by your Spirit. That's part of it, but it's also to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to put aside those fleshly desires, those fleshly things, those fleshly attributes. Again, it's not just, you know, carnal sins, you know, lusting after somebody or overeating or those kind of things. That's part of it, but it also involves the way we conduct our lives. Are we conducting it according to the natural? It's just, well, that's the way things are, and I just do the best I can. Or another way of looking at it is, do I just rely on my own experience, my own knowledge, my own understanding about things? Or do we look to the Spirit of God? So that is a way of living carnally. We are to put those things to death in our life, to mortify the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit, and then be led by the Spirit to continue to mortify those things in our those deeds of the flesh in our life, and to live unto God. Verse 19 then follows this, and it says that we are to be manifested sons of God. So part of the way of being that manifested or revealed son of God is to be, by the Spirit, putting to death the deeds of the flesh, so that we then are manifested, revealed. It's kind of like, we used to watch the old Superman movies. And when the crisis came up, what did Superman do? He started moving away from the crowd so he could get into a hidden place, a telephone booth or whatever it is. And then he would, as he was going, you'd see him open up his shirt and you could see the Superman emblem on his suit there, on his Superman suit. And that's the way we are. As we get closer and closer to God and we are revealed as sons of God, it's like Superman opening his shirt, because we now, as the glorious church, having grown up to be that glorious church, are revealed to the world as having power and glory and wisdom and understanding, all these things that come from the Spirit of God. And how do we get that way? We feed on the strong meat of the Word. Hebrews 5, I'm going to start in verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need for one to teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as those who have need of milk and not strong meat. So here are some Christians that had grown up some in the Word of God. They were moving forward, and something happened, and their progress was stopped. I think here about that, I think of Revelation chapter 3, the church at Laodicea that had become lukewarm. And he's describing, why are they lukewarm? He says, because they say, I am rich. I have increase of goods. I am doing really well. Look how God is blessing my life. But then the Spirit of the God reveals, Jesus reveals the reality. But you do not know that you are poor and wretched and miserable and naked. He says, I counsel you, buy from me pure gold refined by the fire. I counsel to buy from me white raiment that your nakedness would be covered. I counsel you to buy from me eye salve that your eyes would be able to see and you would not be blind. So these people here, whom the author is writing to, the Hebrew church, had probably come to that state. They were satisfied with the way things were going. They become complacent, and they had let slip the things that they had learned. They had let slip. They became not adults now, but they stopped adulting, and they started becoming like children again, just getting by. And he's saying, no, by this time you should have been teachers. You should have been not just knowing the Word of God, not just feeding on the meat, not just feeding on the strong meat, but you should have been teaching others. And going on to verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. And another way of translating that word full age, which is actually the word teleos in the Greek, is complete or brought to an end. That they are, those that have the strong meat, they have come to full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So they know what the word says. They have matured, so they become of full age. They have become complete. They have become perfect. Would it surprise you to know that Hebrews 10:14 uses the same word as used here, that we, that Jesus gave his life that we should be made perfect, even those that are sanctified. It's the same word, that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, by reasons of use of the Word of God, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, they have grown up. They are feeding on the strong meat of the Word. They are using it in their lives. They have become adults. And we are then not to draw back as those, or that you may save your souls. Don't draw back. Hebrews 10, 38 and 39. Now the just shall live by faith. We're going to talk about that phrase. The just, those who have been made righteous, the just shall live shall conduct their life, shall live by faith, in the way of faith. The just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, in other words, draw back from trusting and having faith in God, if any man draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe, even to the saving of their soul. In other words, there is this word here, sozo, the saving of the soul. There's deliverance, and there is healing, and there is everything that Jesus has died for us, for our life. Reminds us of 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So that's how our soul prospers, is by living by faith. Romans 14:23 says, whatever is not of faith is sin. Well, that's one that you could think about for a long time. Whatever is not of faith. So we want to and we need to be acting in faith, so that we are living by faith in these ending days. We have now grown up. We know the word. Now it's time to act on the word. That's what faith is acting on the word. Hebrews 10:38 and 39 again. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So the just shall live, shall conduct their lives by faith, that we talked about a few minutes ago. Luke 18:8, Jesus says this. I'm going to quote from part B of the verse. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? What kind of faith? Faith to believe that what he has called us to be in these last days, we can be. In other words, the adult children, fulfilling and walking in everything that an adult child of God should be walking in. So let's go on and talk a little bit more about living by faith in the ending days. Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, for it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Here we see that same phrase again. It's actually also found in Romans chapter 1, and it's, of course, originally from Habakkuk. Walk in the Spirit by being led by the Spirit or the Word. So living by faith is taking the Word of God and walking by faith, living it out in our lives. The just shall live by faith. We are to walk after the Spirit, and in walking after the Spirit, we are free from the condemnation of death. Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Notice it's Christ Jesus, that they are in and under the lordship of Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, not carnally, like we talked about a few minutes ago, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So we live and conduct our life by faith. Going on in Romans chapter 8, we learn about being spiritually minded, which is for life and peace. So if we, looking at verses 5 and 6 of Romans chapter 8, for they that are after the flesh, or after carnal things, they do mind the things of the flesh. They pay attention to the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then if you look at the next verse, it says, for to be carnally minded is enmity towards God. In other words, if all you're doing is living by the lust of the flesh, or living by the ways of the flesh, or the carnal life, if you're living by ways and understandings of the flesh, It says that it puts you at enmity with God, fighting against God, and that's not what we want. We want to, by the Spirit, be living our life. And we do that by faith. And then again, looking at Romans 8:13, for if we live after the flesh, we shall die, but if through the Spirit we do mortify the deeds of the flesh, we shall live. Going on to the next point. Let the Holy Spirit give life to your mortal flesh. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or give life to your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Now, I know that we most of the time use this in talking about healing, because the life of God then gives life to our flesh and brings healing. But it is really more than that. The Spirit of him who raised up Jesus dwells in us, and that Spirit gives life, gives animation to our lives, so that we are following after and doing what God has called us to do, to be those adult children. We do that by losing our life in him, and when we do so, we shall find life. From Matthew 10:39, he that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. In Matthew 16:25, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. So we are to grow up, and in growing up, according to the Word of God, then we are to live that out by faith. Now, I want us to go now to page 3 and talk about that, and then we'll come back to the next point. Page 3, what will we be like on the day before the rapture? Characteristics of a mature child of God. So based on many of the things that we've been talking about already, about what does it mean to be an adult child of God, we've got listed here. And notice that each phrase starts out, we are each. That's very important, because now we as a family of God, we all want to see these things happening in our lives. But as has been said in the past, I think Penny was the first one that brought this up, we can all be swimming in the same pool, but each person has to swim. And so even though we are all part of the family of God, and different ones of us have gifts and we're at different levels, we all still need to get to the point where we are each one of these, or all of these characteristics. We are each a fully manifested child of God. We are each living without sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are each walking in perfect love towards God and man. We are each walking in authority and dominion over Satan and every demon, devil, and evil spirit. We are each destroying sin and the works of darkness. We are each living in perfect unity with our Abba Father and Jesus. We are each walking in unity with the other members of the glorious church. We are each being led every minute by the Spirit. We are each walking in perfect health. We are each walking in faith in every word of God. We are each walking in dominion over weather, animals, sickness, and disease. We are each living in the kingdom of God continually with the purpose of manifesting the benefits of the kingdom to the world. We are each walking in signs and wonders towards those who do not know Jesus. We are each ministering in the power of the Spirit and the love of God. We are each speaking the truth of God's word without compromise. We are each speaking, decreeing, and proclaiming the word of God over every circumstance in our lives and into the world around us. We are each commanding the hosts of heaven assigned to us to further the kingdom of God in this world. We are each conform to the image of Christ. We are each manifesting the glory of God in our lives. So as we are growing up to be the family of God, these are the outcomes that one should expect in our lives. And this is where we are going. You want to be an adult in the end times, in the kingdom of God? This is what it should look like. But these are all outcomes. These are all the end results. The end results of what? The end results, let's go back to the outline now, point C. These are the ending results of what we do on a daily basis to grow up. So we want to look at lifestyle goals in the ending days. So again, these outcomes are the result of the daily faith-filled processes that we incorporate into our lives. We've said this around here many times, so I'm going to go ahead and reiterate it again. Thoughts lead to words. Words that we use lead to actions. Actions lead to behavior. Behavior leads to habits. And habits lead to character, and your character determines your destiny. So at each level, from our thoughts all the way to our character and destiny, we have to be living daily in the processes of getting there. So let's take a look at some of these lifestyles. None of these are things that we've not heard before. It's just, are we incorporating them into our lifestyle on a daily basis? Apostle Joshua has often said that the most important thing that you can do for your life and your health and your victory is to confess your sins on a regular basis. We confess our sins every time we sin, and we know it. We confess that sin, according to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we've also learned, especially lately in the series that Apostle Joshua has been teaching on living daily under grace, we also know how important it is to be aware of unknown sins and to deal with unknown sins on a very frequent basis, so that we would say, I am unaware, Father, I am unaware of any sins, but I thank you for cleansing me from all unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1:9. So we, on a regular basis, throughout the day, we are dealing with unaware sins. Our goal is like 50 to 60 times a day for just regular unaware sins prayer. We've also learned about rapid fire, so that as we're under attack, as we're dealing with a particular issue in our lives, then rapid fire, we do it like an affirmation just over and over and over. It might be 25, 50, 100 times, depending on what we're dealing with and how the Lord leads us. And then on a constant basis, we should continually be doing interval unaware sins. And this helps us to be walking. See, the whole point of it is to walk in his grace, so that his grace is upon us, not just because we're in the age of grace, but that we actually see the manifestation of grace, of his grace, in our lives as we're staying under him. We are to cleanse ourselves on an ongoing basis. cleansing here. What I mean by cleansing ourselves is dealing with the demonic issues in our life, the demons in us, the demons around us, the demons influencing us. We need to cleanse ourselves on an ongoing basis so that we, this is a result of our desiring to live without sin. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. So the great house we're talking about here is us, is our lives. And in our lives, we have things that are to honor and things that are to dishonor. Things that are of God, things that are not of God. Things that are of righteousness, holiness, and things that are of evil and iniquity and sin in our lives. And he says here that if we purge ourselves from those things that are dishonorable in our lives, then we are set aside and we are then meet. We are equipped, well equipped, for the master's use and prepared for every good work that he has for us. Going on to verse 22. Talks a little bit about more about how that happens. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You'll skip down to verse 25. In meekness instruct those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who have taken them captive at his will. So here we see someone that is opposing themselves. Why? Because they are being ensnared by the devil. And he talks here about how to get out of that. One is to flee youthful lusts. The other one is by repenting. So as you repent from those things in your life, then it sets us free so that they can recover themselves to come out of that drunken stupor of sin and out of the snare of the evil one. So cleanse ourselves on a regular basis. Part of that is just being aware of sin. You start seeing some habits that you don't want to be involved in creeping up again. You start thinking about things that you know is not in the mind of Christ and considering them. Those are signs that you may need to deal with some sins to confess as well as some demonic issues to deal with. Number three, be a God chaser. Blessings will overtake you when you chase God. From Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2, and shall come to pass, if thou hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God shall set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee, and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So be a God chaser. So here it says, do the secondary methods. If you recall from Healing School, semester one, I don't remember exactly which module it was. If you can go back and look that up, the secondary methods, things that we do to walk in faith, believing that God will bring about those things in our life that we are believing for. So it's spiritual warfare, and it involves reading the Word, taking communion, of course, confessing sins, worshiping and dancing before the Lord, walking by faith and being a tither and all these things that are secondary methods that put us under the anointing, that put us under grace. Number four, do God things, not just good things. Colossians 3:23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. In other words, it's for Him, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Just because somebody's come to you and said, oh, this is a really good thing for you to do, it might be a good thing, but you need to ask the Lord, is it a God thing? Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that you may put to the test what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So a good thing is anything that God thinks is good. So like feeding the poor is good, doing all these kind of good things that bless people. They are good things to do. But the question is now the time? Is that my calling? Is that what God wants me to do? Just because it's a good thing doesn't necessarily mean it's a God thing. Is it an acceptable thing? Acceptable thing is a good thing that God wants you to do. But the question is, am I doing it when God says to do it? Am I doing it in a way that He wants it to be done? And then a God thing, or the perfect thing. It's a good thing which God wants you to do at the time when God wants you to do it. So see what it is. What is it that God wants me to do? And be asking Him. Don't just look at things and say, oh, it would be really good to do this. No, ask God and let Him lead you and guide you. Notice that it is the renewing of our mind. In other words, by the Word of God, that gives us discernment, helps us to test, to prove what is the good, what is the acceptable, and then what is the perfect God thing that He wants us to do. Number six, pray in tongues a lot, especially if you don't know the problem or the solution. 1 Corinthians 14:2-4, He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mystery. I'll skip to verse 4. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. And then Jude chapter 1, verse 20, But ye, beloved, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Number seven, pray in affirmations. So we pray in tongues, especially if we don't know what the problem is or what the solution to the problem is. We pray in affirmations in order affirming the Word of God, especially when we do know what the problem is and we know what the solution is. So I'll let you read those verses there in Isaiah and Hebrews, but let's look at Titus chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, confirm over and over, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. In other words, by affirming constantly what the Word says, speaking it over and over, what we're doing is proclaiming what God has said, because faith is action, but faith is also speaking. And then number nine, be a loving and forgiving person who ministers the good news of the gospel and the love of Jesus at every opportunity. From Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Another way of thinking about growing up to be an adult. Working out your own salvation. This isn't talking about salvation to go to heaven. This is talking about working out what Jesus has done for us in our lives so that we see the manifestation of it. Verse 13, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. See, that's where the forgiveness, being a loving and forgiving person, comes in. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. There you go, grown up sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So we are to be ministering the good news of the gospel and the love of Jesus at every opportunity, holding forth into this perverse world. Now, if it was perverse back then, boy, perverse now, huh? Amen. So, what we are saying is that we are to grow up. Grow up by the word of God. Grow up because God has designed it such as Jesus gave his life that we would grow up to be the glorious church, the manifested sons of God in this world. And again, we looked at all those outcomes. Now here's an assignment. Review the lifestyle goals in C1 through 9 that will lead to the fulfillment of each of these outcomes. What is it that you need to keep doing or start doing? And then what additional ones can you add to the list? So we have to be purposeful. We have to be specific in what it is we're trying to accomplish in growing up. In the kingdom of God, adulthood is not automatic. Adulthood in the natural life happens in terms of physiology. But it doesn't work that way in the kingdom of God. To be an adult in the kingdom of God, you've got to set your mind to it. You've got to set your heart to it. You've got to be diligent, as we looked at a few minutes ago. Be diligent with ardent zeal and intense effort to be all that God has called us to be in these ending days, as adults in the family of God. Amen. I think my voice is ready to say I'm done.
Oh, praise the Lord. What an excellent teaching. Pastor Matthew, I have to correct you on one small thing, though. I hope you don't mind. You kept saying strong meat. That was a 7-course meal, okay? Very good teaching. My goodness gracious. Adulting. I don't think I've ever heard that term before, but it makes a lot of sense. And there's a lot of people out there that just need to, like he says, grow up. It's time for us to really accept the fact that the end times are coming. We can't stop it. All we can do is get ready for it. Okay. So today is October 1st. We're in the fourth quarter of the year. We're that much closer to the end times than we were at the first of the year, right? Okay, let's start with communion, please. Praise the Lord. Now, this communion prayer that we do today was written by Apostle Joshua, as he taught us to say this, especially when under attack. And we have many testimonies of people being healed as soon as they've used this communion prayer. So that's why I ask you to repeat it with me, okay? So as we take the body, let's all do a USP, please, or repent of your sins if you need to. I'll lead the USP part. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm not aware of any sins. In the name of Jesus, thank you for cleansing me of all unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1:9. Okay, so as we take this bread, in the name of Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians, 11:22-24. In the name of Jesus, I take this body and eat this bread. In doing so, I agree and receive that I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Amen. Repeat after me, please. In the name of Jesus, I take this cup of blessing, and I agree and I receive, because of the blood of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, who dwells in me, quickens my mortal body and restores it to the life of God. Amen.